Good morning and welcome to Claude Daily. I'm Alex.
And I'm Sam. Happy Friday, everyone. Or happy whatever day it is when you're catching this, we don't judge.
It is May 22nd, 2026. And Sam, I want to just set the table here before we get into the stories because today is one of those mornings where everything we're covering actually connects. Like there's a thread running through all of it.
Yeah, I noticed that when I was going through the brief this morning. So there's the obvious lead story, which is huge. And then there's the enterprise documentation stuff from Claude Code, which on the surface sounds very technical and maybe a little dry.
It's not dry. I want to say upfront, it is not dry.
It is not dry at all. And when you put it all together, what you're actually seeing is Anthropic simultaneously doing two things at once, making Claude radically more intuitive for individual users, while also hardening it for serious enterprise deployment, both happening at the same time.
Which, when you think about what the last few years of AI development have looked like, that's kind of the whole game, right? Win the individual users, win the enterprise, do both without compromising either.
And it's genuinely hard to do. Most companies have picked a lane. So yeah, today's a good day.
Let's get into it. The biggest story first. So this comes out of a piece by Akash, a newsletter and analysis space that covers AI pretty closely. And the headline they put on it is, and I love this, just clicky, with a period. No context. Just clicky.
Which is a reference that... Okay, so the piece opens with this line. And Alex, I want you to just read the setup because it's genuinely one of the better framings I've seen for a tech story in a while.
Yeah, so the framing goes something like this. Think about this for a second. Every AI interaction you have had for 3 years started with you explaining what's on your screen to a model that cannot see your screen. You left your work, opened a tab, translated what you were looking at into words, and then waited for a response about a thing the model couldn't directly perceive.
3 years! 3 years of that workflow! And I say this as someone who has done it thousands of times. You just get used to it, right? You start doing this thing where you're like, okay, so I have a spreadsheet open, and in column B, starting at row 4, there are these values, and the formula I'm trying to write is... And you're doing all this translation work that takes longer than the actual problem sometimes.
And the thing is... You don't even notice how much friction that is until someone shows you the alternative.
Which is exactly what's happening here. So Claude now has, let's just say it plainly. Claude can see your screen, like actually look at what you're looking at. Direct visual access to whatever is on your display.
And that is the shift. That is the thing that Akash is pointing to. The piece notes that both Anthropic's Claude and Google's Gemini are converging on this at essentially the same time, which tells you something really important.
It tells you the problem was identified a long time ago and multiple teams were racing to solve it. When two major players land on the same solution in the same window, it's not a coincidence. The technology just finally got to the point where it could be done reliably.
Right, and I think that's worth dwelling on for a second because there's a version of this story that's just, oh cool, Claude can see your screen now, neat. But the bigger version of the story is about what this does to the entire model of how people interact with AI assistants.
Completely changes it. Because right now, and again, I've done this, you've done this, everyone listening has done this, the workflow is encounter a problem, stop what you're doing, switch contexts, describe the problem, get an answer, switch back. That's four steps where ideally there should be one.
Just, hey, what's wrong with this?
Exactly. You're looking at a thing. The AI is looking at the same thing. You ask about the thing. Done. That's it. That's the whole interaction.
And what's interesting about the Akash piece specifically is that it's not just celebrating this as a cool feature. It's making the argument that this was the fundamental unsolved problem in AI usability for the past several years. Not the models being too dumb, not the outputs being wrong, but the sheer act of getting context into the model in the first place.
Which is such a good point because we spent so much time talking about model quality, model reasoning, model accuracy, and all of that matters. It absolutely matters. But there was this other layer of friction that was almost invisible because it was so baked into the workflow. Like the moment you accept that you have to describe your screen to the AI, you've already accepted a tax on every single interaction.
A translation tax, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, and it's not a small tax either. Think about the kinds of things people ask AI assistants about at work. Why is this chart showing the wrong data? What's the bug in this error message? Why does this design look off? All of these are fundamentally visual problems. You're looking at a thing. The problem is in the looking, and the AI couldn't look.
Until now.
Until now. And I want to zoom out for a second because, so the piece is specifically about Claude and Gemini converging on this. And I think there's something worth saying about what it means that Google is doing the same thing at the same time. Because Google has an enormous installed base of people using their productivity tools. Docs, Sheets, Slides. If Gemini can just see what you're working on in a Google Doc.
Oh, that's a completely different experience. That's not even a chatbot anymore at that point.
Right. It's a collaborator. It's someone sitting next to you who can see your screen and just react to what you're doing.
And I think that's where this gets philosophically interesting, because the piece is really pointing to a redesign of what the category of AI assistant even means. We've been operating under a text-in, text-out mental model, even as the models have gotten dramatically more capable. The interface was still this box you typed into.
The interface was the constraint.
The interface was the constraint. And screen vision is one of the clearest examples of breaking that constraint. You remove the box, you remove the typing in description step, and suddenly the model is just present. It's in the room with you.
Which, by the way, if you're someone who listens to this show and you haven't tried this yet, I know it may feel like just another feature announcement, but try it. Use it for something where you would normally have stopped and typed out a description of what you're looking at. The difference is immediate. It's one of those things that once you've experienced it, you can't really go back.
It's the kind of thing that makes you feel slightly ridiculous about the old way.
Very slightly ridiculous, yeah. You're like, we were doing what for 3 years?
Explaining our screens to computers that couldn't see. Wild.
Wild. Okay, so that's the big headline. Claude has eyes now, effectively. And so does Gemini. And the race to build the intuitive AI companion is very much on.
And speaking of AI that's getting more capable in more ways, let's talk about what's happening on the developer and enterprise side, because there's been some significant documentation coming out of the Claude Code team this week that I think deserves real attention. So this is coming straight from the Claude Code official documentation, and there are two things I want to cover that are related but distinct. The first is about sandboxing, specifically the different ways that Claude Code can be configured to run code safely. The second is about organizational controls for something called Model Context Protocol servers. We'll explain that in a second.
Yeah, let's do sandboxing first because I think it's foundational to understanding why the MCP stuff matters.
Agreed. So the context here is, Claude Code is Anthropic's AI coding tool. It runs in your development environment. It can write code, execute code, interact with your file system. And that's incredibly powerful. But it also means you need to think carefully about what you're letting it do, especially when it's running in an automated or semi-automated mode where a human isn't approving every single action.
Right. Because a coding AI that can execute code is by definition a thing that can do real things in the real world. It's not just generating text, it's actually running commands. And if something goes wrong, whether that's a bad command, a security issue, an error that cascades, you want guardrails.
Exactly. And so what the Claude Code documentation has laid out is this tiered framework of sandboxing options. And I love that they did it this way because it's not one size fits all. It's a spectrum with real trade-offs at each level.
Walk me through the tiers because I think people will find this genuinely interesting.
So at the lightweight end, you've got what they call the built-in sandboxed bash tool. This is the low setup option. It restricts what Claude Code can do at the bash command level, so certain operations are blocked or limited, but it doesn't require anything exotic like Docker or a separate virtual machine. It's the I want some protection without a lot of overhead option.
So for a solo developer just using this on their own machine, this is probably fine. You're not running a production system. You're not dealing with sensitive enterprise data. You just want Claude to help you code without accidentally deleting something important.
Right. It's proportional to the risk. And then as you move up the spectrum, the isolation gets more serious. The documentation describes Docker-based sandboxing, where Claude Code is running inside a container, which means it's genuinely separated from your host system. So even if something weird happens inside the container, your actual machine is protected.
And Docker is, I mean, it has more setup cost. You've got to have Docker running. You've got to configure the container. But it's also a really well-understood technology in enterprise environments. Most engineering teams already have Docker infrastructure.
Which is exactly why it's an appealing middle option. You get meaningful isolation and you can plug it into existing workflows.
And then, okay, so the top end, the fully isolated virtual machines. Tell me about that because I think that's where it gets interesting for the bigger enterprise use case.
So at the highest end of the spectrum, you're running Claude Code in a completely isolated virtual machine. This is the maximum isolation option. The AI agent is essentially running in its own little world. It can't touch your network, it can't access other systems. Every operation it performs is contained within this isolated environment.
Which is, I mean, from a security standpoint, that's what you want for certain categories of work. If you're an enterprise that's dealing with sensitive code, proprietary systems, compliance requirements, you don't necessarily want your AI coding assistant to have ambient access to everything. You want it to be doing its work in a box.
And the documentation is really transparent about the trade-offs. Higher isolation means more setup complexity, more resource overhead, more things that could go wrong in the configuration. But you get that in exchange for much stronger security guarantees.
You know what I find genuinely thoughtful about this approach? And this is something I don't feel like gets said enough about how Anthropic documents things. They're not just saying, here's the best option, use this. They're saying, here are five options, here's what each one costs you, here's what each one gives you. Make the choice that fits your context. That's mature documentation.
It's treating the user as someone who can make intelligent decisions, rather than just giving you the default and hoping for the best.
Exactly. And that matters because the developer who's solo hacking on a personal project has completely different needs than the enterprise engineering team that's running Claude Code in a continuous integration pipeline on production-adjacent infrastructure. Those are not the same problem, and a documentation strategy that acknowledges that is genuinely useful.
There's also something interesting here about where AI coding tools are in their maturity curve. Like, the fact that there is a formal documentation page about enterprise sandboxing options suggests that this is not an experimental toy anymore. This is infrastructure. This is something companies are building serious workflows around.
Oh, 100%. And actually, that connects directly to the second thing you mentioned, the model context protocol server stuff, because that's also really squarely in the this is now enterprise infrastructure territory.
Yeah, so let's get into that. Model context protocol. People may have heard of this. It's been a pretty significant development in the AI tooling world. But just to set the stage, Model Context Protocol, or MCP, is essentially a standardized way for AI models to connect to external tools and data sources. So instead of every AI integration being a custom thing that's built from scratch, MCP gives you a common protocol for saying, here's how this AI talks to this external system.
It's like, okay, a non-technical analogy. It's a bit like USB. Before USB, every device had its own weird connector, and plugging things into computers was a mess. USB standardized the connection so that any device could talk to any computer. MCP is trying to do something similar for AI and external tools.
That's actually a pretty good analogy. And just like USB, the standardization is enormously powerful because it means the ecosystem of tools can grow much faster. Developers can build an MCP server for their product, and suddenly it works with any AI system that supports the protocol, including Claude.
So why does this need governance controls? Like, what's the enterprise problem here?
Great question. So, the problem is the same reason USB drives were banned in certain government and corporate environments for years. Just because something connects doesn't mean everything should be allowed to connect. If your employees are using Claude Code in a professional setting, and they can connect it to any MCP server they want, including ones that haven't been vetted by your security team, you now have a potential data exfiltration risk. You have unknown third parties potentially having access to context from your code base.
Oh yeah, that's a real problem.
Very real problem. Because MCP servers can see the context that the model is working with. They can see your code, they can see your data. They can have the model take actions in external systems. If you're an enterprise and that's uncontrolled, that's a serious governance gap.
So what Anthropic has built here is the ability for administrators to actually lock this down.
Right. So the documentation describes a system where administrators, people who are managing Claude Code deployment for an organization, can deploy what's called a managed configuration file that controls MCP server access at the organizational level. And they have several levels of control available to them.
Walk me through those.
So the most restrictive option is just disable MCP entirely. No MCP servers, full stop. For some organizations, that's actually the right call. The security posture is strict enough that the risk of even a vetted MCP connection isn't worth it.
Which fair. There are industries where that's the right answer.
Then you have the approved list approach, which is probably the most common enterprise pattern. Administrators maintain a list of approved MCP servers. These are servers that have been vetted, reviewed, are known to be safe for the organization's use case, and Claude Code will only connect to servers on that list. Anything not on the list is blocked.
Which is just classic allow listing. It's the same pattern enterprises use for software installs, for browser extensions, for all kinds of things. The fact that it's now applicable to AI tool integrations makes sense.
And then there are more nuanced controls in between. You can allow certain categories of MCP servers. You can allow servers provisioned by the organization itself, but block external ones. There's real flexibility in how you dial this in.
What strikes me about this is, and I said this about the sandboxing stuff too, this is the documentation that a company writes when they're serious about enterprise sales. Like, this is not, here's a cool API, have fun. This is, here is how your security team can sleep at night while your engineering team uses this tool.
It's exactly that. And I think it signals something about where Anthropic is positioning Claude Code. This is not just a developer convenience tool. This is trying to be enterprise-grade infrastructure.
And the timing makes sense too, because the more capable these tools get, wow, and we were just talking about Claude being able to see screens, the more important governance becomes. Like, capability and governance have to scale together, or you end up with tools that IT departments just refuse to allow at all.
Right. Which is bad for everyone. It's bad for the company that can't use the tools, it's bad for the developers who want to use them. And it's bad for Anthropic, because those are blocked enterprise deals.
So building in the governance infrastructure is actually the thing that unlocks adoption. You can't sell to a financial institution or a healthcare company or a government contractor without being able to answer the question, how do your administrators control this?
And now they can answer that question in documented, detailed, supported ways.
I'm genuinely impressed by the comprehensiveness of what they've put out here. Like, the sandboxing documentation alone would have been a good week's worth of work. The MCP governance documentation is its own substantial thing. This is a team that's shipping.
Yeah. And here's where I want to pull the thread back to the bigger picture, because I think when you look at today's stories together, screen vision for individual users, sandbox and governance infrastructure for enterprise, you see a coherent strategy.
Yeah, talk about that, because I've been thinking about this all morning.
So the question any AI company has to answer is, who's your user? And the honest answer for Anthropic is both. They need individual users who love Claude, who use it every day, who would feel lost without it. And they need enterprises who are willing to pay significant money to deploy this at scale. And those two things are actually in tension in a lot of ways.
Because what individual users want is frictionless and magical. They want Claude to just see their screen and help. They don't want to configure anything. They want it to work.
And what enterprises want is controllable and auditable and secure. They want to know exactly what's connected to what. Exactly what data is accessible to what. Exactly who approved what.
So the screen vision stuff is the frictionless and magical part.
And the sandbox and MCP governance stuff is the controllable and auditable part. And you need both. You can't win with enterprises if your tool is too scary from a security standpoint. And you can't win with individual users if your tool is too cumbersome.
And Anthropic is, at least based on what we're seeing this week, trying to thread both of those needles at the same time, which is hard. That's genuinely hard.
It is. And I think the fact that they're documenting the enterprise controls as thoroughly as they're shipping the user-facing features tells you something about organizational priorities. These aren't afterthoughts. These are co-equal parts of the strategy.
The other thing I want to say about the MCP governance stuff specifically is that it matters for the broader ecosystem, because MCP as a protocol is only as valuable as it is trustworthy. If enterprises can't trust that MCP connections are secure and controlled, they're not going to adopt MCP-based integrations, which means the whole ecosystem of MCP server builders. All the third-party developers building tools that connect to Claude via MCP, they benefit from this governance infrastructure too.
It raises the floor for everyone.
Exactly. It's not just about Anthropic's security posture. It's about making the entire protocol safe enough to deploy in serious contexts, which helps every developer who's built an MCP server hoping to reach enterprise customers.
That's a really good point that I don't think gets made enough. The governance work is ecosystem work, not just product work.
Yeah. Okay, I feel like we've really gotten into it today. This was a meaty one.
It was. Let me give people a quick recap of what we covered, because there's a lot to hold on to here.
Please, yeah.
So the biggest story, Claude and Google's Gemini are both shipping direct screen vision capabilities. 3 years of the explain your screen to the AI workflow is on its way out. The friction that has defined AI-assisted work since the beginning is being systematically removed. This is a big deal for everyday users, and it's the clearest sign yet that the interface paradigm for AI is changing fundamentally.
It's not a chat box anymore.
It's not a chat box anymore. Second thing, Claude Code is shipping a tiered sandboxing framework that gives developers and enterprises real options for how isolated Claude Code's operations are, from a lightweight bash sandbox all the way up to full virtual machine isolation. There are real trade-offs at each level, and the documentation is actually honest about them.
Which refreshing.
Very. And third, administrators now have detailed, documented controls for governing Model Context Protocol server access within their Claude Code deployments. You can block MCP entirely, maintain approved lists, or configure nuanced access policies. This is enterprise-grade governance infrastructure.
And the through line across all three is, Claude is getting easier to use for individuals and more governable for enterprises, both at the same time, which is the play.
Which is the play.
All right, before we sign off, any final thought for the week?
Yeah, I think my takeaway is, if you haven't revisited what Claude can actually do recently, this week is a good time to look again. Because the pace of change and capability is real, and the thing you tried 6 months ago and thought was pretty good might be significantly different now. The screen vision alone is worth checking out if you do any kind of work in front of a computer, which most of us do.
My takeaway is about the enterprise story. I've been covering AI for a while now, and there's often this gap between cool demo and thing a company will actually pay for and put in production. The gap is almost always governance and security, and what Anthropic is shipping this week on that front is closing that gap in a meaningful way. That matters for Anthropic's business, and it matters for the broader trajectory of how AI gets adopted in serious institutional contexts.
Well said. All right, that is Claude Daily for May 22nd, 2026. I'm Alex.
And I'm Sam. Have a great weekend, everyone. Or a great Tuesday, or whenever. We'll see you next time.
Take care.